Okay, so let's get started. So last week, not last week, on Moshe Rosh Hashanah, we discussed the two tracks of Maadim, that there's the Shalosh Regalim, Pesach, Shavuot, Sukkos, and there's also the Yom Narayim, Rosh Hashanah, Yom Kippur, Sukkos, and that the culmination of both of these tracks is on Sukkos. So last, on Moshe Rosh Hashanah, we discussed the Mitzvah Sukkah a lot, so tonight we're going to discuss the significance of the Mitzvah of Lulav. So let's just point out, Ha'ara, that when we discussed that when in a lot, a big theme throughout Judaism, and Chabad Chassidus, Chachma B'Yandas. First you have the original spark, then you have the plan, then you have the kium of the plan. In other words, the Machshava, the Dibor, and the Maisa. And that's really Rosh Hashanah, Yom Kippur, Sukkos. Because what's the mitzvah Hayom of Rosh Hashanah? Shofar. Shofar, the Rambam writes in the Avir Rishon that the shofar, a person's supposed to wake up when he hears the sound of the shofar. It's supposed to affect the person's Machshava. Now what's Yom Kippur all about? Yom Kippur, we do Vidor, we do Tefillah, that's Dibor. And Sukkos, the mitzvah lulav, that's Maisa. So Machshava Dibor Maisa. Rosh Hashanah, the initial spark, person's supposed to be get inspired by the shofar. Yom Kippur, the Tefillah, the Dibor, and then the Chalois Kim of that is Sukkos. It's the lulav on Sukkos. Now we find that there's a lot of comparisons though between the mitzvahs of shofar and lulav. So for example, the Rambam groups the halachas of shofar and lulav together. And we find that there's a big emphasis, the Iker Kiyum of both Mitzvah Shofar and Lulav is in the Beis HaMikdash. And we could come up with all sorts of other comparisons that exist between these two mitzvahs. So what I want to try to understand is, what's the significance of the connection between the Mitzvah of Shofar we do in Rosh Hashanah, and how's that related to the Mitzvah of Dal Minim that we do on Sukkos? So let's try to understand this connection. So we discussed in the previous weeks that, what's the significance of Rosh Hashanah? What's Rosh Hashanah all about? Rosh Hashanah is the root of creation. It's the first day of the year. And on Rosh Hashanah, we specifically emphasize the three cardinal tenets of our belief, namely Malchus, Zichronos, and Shofar, which corresponds to belief in God, belief in Hashem's Hashkacha, Zichronos, and Shofar, which is belief in Torah. Now, Rosh Hashanah is all about the root. In Sukkos, we're going to try to develop this idea, is that Sukkos is the kium of the themes that we emphasize on Rosh Hashanah. So we're going to try to explain this point in multiple aspects. So, for example, on Rosh Hashanah we blow shofar. What's shofar about? So, the Chazal and the Sifri teach that the shofar is a proclamation of chayrus. It's about freedom. So we blow shofar during the Yovel year to free slaves. But on a much deeper level, the Svarim point out that the shofar, it's a shofar of chayrus in the sense that a person, when he hears the blast of the shofar, is supposed to wake up and free himself from the Yetzer Hara and his passions that are holding him down. That a person is only able to accomplish so much in this world when he's driven by his Yetzer Hara. When a person hears the shofar, he's supposed to unshackle himself from his desires. Now, with that, the Maharal explains that the significance of the mitzvah of shofar, a group of this idea that shofar is about freedom, the Maharal explains that shofar is all about geula. And we find that when Lasid Lavo, the psukim talk about the fact that we're going to hear a sound of a shofar, that the shofar is going to be mekabits all of Klal Yisrael together. And in the desert, what was used to gather all the nation, what was used to gather everyone together? It was the tchatzotzos. But again, it was the sound of the tekiyos, the sound of the tekiyos that was meant to group everyone together. So the Maharal explains that shofar is inherently linked to kibbutz, gathering together, uniting everyone together. And uniting everyone together is geula. So what I want to try to understand at this point is, what's the significance of geula in kibbutz yachad? What's the significance? What's the connection? I guess we can frame it this way. What's the connection between achdus, unity, and geula, redemption? So let's try to understand this. So for starters, the Maharal points out, what's the word ga'al? What's the difference between the word ga'al in Hebrew as opposed to the word gala? So ga'al means redemption. Gala means exile. So Maharal makes the following point. Now, what's the middle letter of the word ga'al? Aleph. What's the significance of aleph? It's one, united. So the significance of ga'al is when someone's redeemed, when everything comes together. According to Maharal, redemption is everything coming together. Ga'al, the middle letter is the Aleph, because the middle is everything coming together. Now, the word Gola, which means exiled, what's the last letter is the difference between Ga'al and Galah is that Ga'al as Gimel Ay Aleph Lamed, right? The Aleph is the kibbutz yachid, it's the achdus together. Galah, the difference between is that there's a hey at the end. Now the hey, the Maral explains, is a dalet and a yud, right? The way you make a hey is you got the dalet and then you have the yud. The dalet is the four corners of the earth, and then the yud is what binds the four corners of the earth together. And what Galah represents, Galus is, it's the pizor, it's the spreading out. Whereas Geula is coming together, it's the Ga'al, it's everything coming back to the Aleph, to the middle. So let's try to understand the significance of this idea that Geula specifically is connected to Achdus and uniting together. So in order to understand this, we'll have to understand the significance of Achdus. I guess before that, let's just try to understand. Okay, let's understand this point first, and then we'll connect with the mitzvah of Luv. So what's the significance of the Achdus of Klal Yisrael? So we can understand this in a few different lights, and we discussed this a bit in the past, but I'm going to just, I guess, refresh and discuss this point again, because it's a very fundamental point. What's the most fundamental definition of a Kodesh Baruch Hu? What's the most accurate description that we have of God? So the Ramchal explains that Achdus, defining Hashem as by his unity, is the most accurate description of him because his Achdus, his unity, encompasses everything else. Now, the Ramchal also explains in the beginning of Derech Hashem, how do we connect to HaKadosh Baruch Hu? What's the way we connect to him? By imitating him. So according to the Ramchal, if the most fundamental way that we could define HaKadosh Baruch Hu is through his unity, and the way we connect to HaKadosh Baruch Hu is by imitating him, so the greatest way that we can imitate HaKadosh Baruch Hu and therefore connect to him is by through our Achdus, through our unity. And when we become Echad, when we become united together, we're imitating Hashem in the most fundamental and accurate sense, and therefore we're able to have the most intense relationship with him, the most intense closeness to him. And on a similar vein, the Sforno explains that what's the purpose of man in this world? The Sforno writes, the purpose of Adam is to imitate HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Now, what does that mean? Well, why is it that the purpose of man in this world is to imitate Hashem? So Hashem is intangible. The way Hashem's presence is felt in this world is by people keeping Torah and mitzvot. So if the most fundamental definition of HaKadosh Baruch Hu is Achdus, the significance of us being Echad is that it's the greatest reflection of Hashem's existence in this world. Does that make sense? I can repeat this point. So that being the case, the significance, so now let's understand the significance of the Maral. Why is it that Geula is specifically Kibbutz Yachad? Why is it that Geula is associated with Achdus? Because what Geula is ultimately our connection to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And if the greatest way we're able to connect to Hashem is by being Echad, so then Geula is specifically the kibbutz together, everyone coming together, everyone becoming united, because that's the way that we're able to connect to HaKadosh Baruch Hu in the most fundamental sense. So I guess with this Hakdama in mind, now we're going to try to understand the significance of the mitzvah of the Dalad Minim. So let's break this down. So Chazal teach that the Dalad Minim represent the four different types of Jews. So what's the Esrog? The Esrog is Jews that have mitzvos and maisim tovim. The Arava is Jews that don't have mitzvos or maisim tovim. The Lulav is Jews that have Torah, maisim tovim. The Lulav is the one, I just get confused which one's the, okay, whatever. The Lulav and Hadas. One represents Jews that have Torah without maisim tovim, one is Jews with maisim tovim without Torah. Now, the significance of us taking the Dalad Minim together is that we're uniting all of the Jewish people together. We're making all of Klal Yisrael become Echad. And as the Maral and teaches, Chazal teach, right, Chazal teach, that when is Hashem able to be a Melech over us? When we're united, when we're one. So through the mitzvah of Lulav, through the mitzvah of Dalad Minim, what we're doing is we're uniting us together. And through that, Hashem is able to be Melech over us. Chazal, there's a Chazal, there's a Kliyakri, quotes from Chazal, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is specifically only able to Mis'ala, he's only able to elevate, he's only able to be our Melech when we're united together, and the purpose of the Dalamim, the Kliyakar, he alludes to this point that the Dalamim are meant to bind us together, meant to unite the Jewish people together in order that Hashem is able to reign over us. That's what the Kliyakar says. And what's Pshat? So he explained that the significance of the Jewish Achdus is that our Achdus imitates Hashem. Once we imitate Hashem, then Hashem is able to connect to us. Good? Okay. Now, but let's try to develop this point a little bit further. And so the Maharal also explains that there's a much deeper point to the lulav, that not only is the lulav meant to bind all the Klai Yisrael together, but the lulav is also meant to bind us back to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We won't try to develop this point because this is found in a lot of different Sfarim, but the Maharal speaks about this, that the purpose of the lulav is to try to return us to our roots, back to Hashem. We're going to try to develop, we'll try to explain what the Maharal means like this. I'm just throwing out his idea right now, and then we'll develop what the Maharal specifically means. So, before we get there, though, and I guess before we get to that, let's just also point out that, as you said earlier, Rosh Hashanah is all about the potential. Now, what do we daven for on Rosh Hashanah? Right, we daven on Rosh Hashanah that the world, right, we ask chulam aguda achas, that the entire world should become one, united together, to serve Hashem. Now, the Bali Atosis, that's the Canaan, they explain that the kiyum of that is through the Dalad Minim, that we make an aguda achas, we make the Dalad Minim, we make them one bundle, in order to be mekayim our tefilos and Rosh Hashanah. Because, as we said earlier, Rosh Hashanah is the potential, the kiyum of that is sukkos, is the Dalad Minim. So on Rosh Hashanah, there's a big emphasis in our davening through the unity of the Jewish people, and then the way we fulfill that unity is specifically on Sukkot, by taking the Dalad Minim, which represent all the different types of Jews. We're all united together to serve Hashem in this world. And Malchus, as we explained, Malchus is Achdus. Malchus is what we call Kabbalas Malchus Shemayim, referring to accepting Hashem's Achdus. And Rosh Hashanah is all about Hashem's Malchus. It's about Hashem's Achdus. And that is expressed on Sukkot through us taking the Dalad Minim, binding all the Jewish people together. Good? Okay, good. So, but let's develop this point on a different angle, different front, and we'll try to tie this. We'll try to tie everything together. So, what's the gematria of lulav?
68.
Good, 68. What else is the gematria of? Good, Chaim. Right, so the Rishonim. Okay, fine. All right, you look in the Rishonim. I'm not talking about the Mekubalim. I'm talking. You look in the Orchos Chaim. You look in Mariel. You look in Marivayel. They all point out the mitzvah of lulav is the same gematria of chaim. So what's the significance of the fact that lulav has the same gematria as chaim? So what's chaim all about? So Maharal explains that the significance of chaim is eternity. It's nitzchius. For example, we call a ma'ayan, we call a well, a spring, what? We call a ma'im chaim, because it's always ever flowing. Right, in davening, in the Sesame Tshuva, we add all these phrases about Chaim. We say, L'mancha Elokim Chaim. What does that mean? Elokim Chaim? He's living? No, he's not living. It means he's eternal. So what's the significance of the mitzvah of lulav? Mitzvah of lulav is keneged Chaim, because Chaim, we discussed in the past that only Hashem is eternal. According to Maharal's definition of Chaim, which Chaim means life, only HaKadosh Baruch Hu is really alive. And when we ask in davening during the Yom Nirayim to be connected, we ask for Chaim in the Yom Nirayim, the real significance of the tefillah is we're not asking to be physically alive for the upcoming year. What we're really asking to be is to be connected to the Makor Chaim. We're asking to be connected to Hashem. Because we recognize the fact that only Hashem is really living in the sense that He's eternal, and we want to attach ourselves to our Kodesh Baruch Hu. When we add in davening, Zachrein l'chaim, melchav itz b'chaim, kasim sefer chaim, marcha l'kim chaim, the significance of that is not that we should physically be alive, this is coming here. We're really asking that we want to be connected to the Makor Achius, we want to be connected to the Nitzchios of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And that's what the mitzvah of lulav is all about. We'll explain that, right? Well, Chazal teach that are you allowed to are you yotze the mitzvah of luluv if you use a luluv hayavish? No. Right? Dry dalminim are not good for the mitzvah. You only fulfill the mitzvah if you use dalminim that are full of life, that that contain life within them. Because the purpose of the dalminim is for us to be able to connect to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and it represents our desire to attach to the Makor HaChaim. So specifically, we have to use dalminim, which are not dry, which still contain lachluch, they're still moist, they're still contained within it life, in order that we're able to connect to the ultimate Makor HaChaim. That's what Rabbi Amichai explains. Good? Okay. So let's explain this. This is like the Hakdama to like what I really want to talk about. About Rosh Hashanah, sorry, about the Dalet Minim being a chazar to be the Asif El Yon. So let's explain this. And it says, Maral explains that there's three levels of Dveikos of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. There's the start, we'll use his Lashonas. Haskala, the start, Hashlama, the completion, and then the chazar, the return. And Maral explains that when it comes to plants, or to agriculture, there's three stages in agriculture. There's the haskal, the planting. Then there's the hashlama, when the plant is physically done growing. And then there's the chazar, in the sense that you pick it, you gather it. And Maral explains that the same way that there's three levels of Dveikus of Hashem, there's three levels in agriculture, we also have three Yom Tovim that correspond to these three different times. So what's Pesach all about? Pesach is the start of the growth of the start of the growth, let's say, of the wheat. Shavuos is when it fully develops, when it's the Chag HaKatzir. And then Sukkos is the Chag HaAsif, that we're gathering everything together. That's what the Maharal explains. And the Maharal explains that the three Yom Tovim specifically correspond to that, and that there's three levels of Shlemus within this. That there's a certain... What's Pesach all about? So Maral explains that Pesach is all about the formation of Klai Yisrael. That's one level of Shlemus, one level of completion. Then, Sukkah and Shavuos, there's a greater level of completion that we receive the Torah, because the Torah is the ultimate Shlemus in the sense that it contains within it everything. And then there's the highest level of Shlemus, which is what the Maral calls the Asifa Ha'olyona. This is a very important phrase. This is found in all sorts of Svarim, the Asif El Yona, where we're turning back to Hashem. That the same way that on Sukkos, which is the time of the harvest, we pick the fruit, we pluck the fruits out, and it's returning back to us, that is supposed to metaphorically represent our relationship with Hashem. And we'll try to explain what the Maharal is getting at, because this is really the crux of what Sukkos is all about, at least according to the Maharal. What? Asifa El Yona, the Asifa, the gathering, back to Hashem. And the Maharal speaks about this on a lot of points, that the agricultural significance of different Yom Tovim is just supposed to be representative of the stage in our relationship with Hashem at that point. So the same way Pesach, you start plant growth, right? It's the start of the Jewish birth. Shavuos is the completion of the completion of the growth, which is supposed to represent the fact that when we received Torah, we became complete. And Sukkos is like the final stage. It's when you pluck it out of the ground, because you're really returning back to, you're taking it out of its, or you're taking it out of the ground because you're returning it to its root, original source. So let's try to understand this. And we can bring a parallel, I guess, this is a little complicated to understand. A parallel idea. So we find the Ramban in his Hakdam to Sefer Shmos. So the Ramban explains, according to the Ramban, when was the real Gula finally achieved? What's the point? At the Hakamas of Mishkan. So the question is why? Like, why is the Geula really finally achieved, according to the Ramban, at the Hakamas of Mishkan? Why is it that when we left Eretz Yisrael, when we left Egypt, and when we received the Torah, that was not the true Geula? The true Geula is only felt at the time of Hakamas of Mishkan. So that might be an easier question to understand than trying to understand this Sifa Yona that I was talking about. What?
Does Rabbi give the answer to that?
Oh, it's a very cryptic answer. The Ramban gives a very... okay, good. The Ramban does explain it, but we'll try to understand what the Ramban's really... The Ramban, he writes one line, which is obviously alluding to much He has much deeper kavanas, let's just say, than the simple translation. Okay, so what are we getting at here? So the Rabban, the Ma'aral, and many of the Rishonim talk about the fact that the purpose of this world is to return to its roots. That the world is essentially, that there's this idea called Chazar El Shoresh, that the world is returning back to its original state. And what's the significance of this idea? So Ma'aral explains that if we think about it, everything emanates from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So once everything emanates from Hashem, then everything has to return back to Him. So let's try to understand this, because this is a big theme throughout. And the Rishonim talk about this all the time. Again, they say Al-Derech Emes, and a lot of times they're alluding to it. But sort of like one of those Hamev and Yavin. So where are they getting at? So the Rambam talks about it. How does the Rambam open up his Sefer Amada? What's the big... Sheyesham Matzoy Rishon. The Rambam, what's the most fundamental pillar of our belief, according to the Rambam, or the most, Amud, right? Is the fact that there's a Matzoy Rishon, that there's someone who created, there's a creator, I guess?
Prime mover, whatever.
First cause. Okay, good. What is the greatest revelation of the fact that there's a first cause? The fact that something, I guess put this out. We gave the mashal a few weeks ago, right? When you take a stick, it starts on the ground, you flip it and twirl it in the air, and it still lands on its head. It's a much greater revelation of what, I guess, the origins, the fact, it's a much... Okay, sorry, I'm not explaining this so well. Point being, that the fact that the world is returning back to its original state, it's a much greater revelation of the fact that Hashem created this world. Because if...
Otherwise, you would have entropy.
Yeah, exactly. That through scientific logic or whatever, the world, things are meant to break down. The fact that the world is returning back to its original state is... indicates the fact that everything emanated from Hashem. Does that make sense? That's essentially, that's the point that they're getting at. The Rambam Morin Vuchim talks about the fact that this world is a world of Havai, that this world is meant to break down into its... But the fact that the exact opposite is happening, and that the world is essentially returning back to its original state, defies that. And is a much greater revelation of the fact that there is a prime mover. That's essential to the Ma'aral and the Ramban and Rabbein Mechayr. Again, obviously the single Derech Emes, they have much deeper kavanos than what I don't fully understand the idea, but the kids, that's what they're getting at. Now the significance, that's Sukkos, right? That's the Sukkos. And when the Ma'aral talks about the fact that Sukkos is all about the Asif al-Yonah, that's what the Ma'aral's getting at. That Sukkos, we're returning back to our roots. The same way that we say that Adam was created from Afar, the Pasuk in the Afar Atashiv, man's returned to Afar. On Sukkos, we're returning back to Hashem. And that's the ultimate Geula. Because we discussed in the past that Geula, the Ma'aral explains that Geula is synonymous with Dveikus, of closeness with Hashem. So the fact that we're returning to Him, that's the ultimate closeness that we have between us and the Kadosh Baruch Hu. And that's Sukkos. That's what the Dalet Minim is all about. The Dalet Minim is the Asif al-Yona in the sense that we're returning all the way back to Hashem. And at that point, that's the closest kirva that we can have between us and Hashem. That, for example, is why Sukkos is Zman Simchasenu. Because it's the closest point, it's the time in the year that we're most close to Hashem. So therefore, it's the time that engenders the most Simcha. Because as I explained in the past, Simcha is about closeness to Hashem. Right? The opposite of Simcha is Atzuv, sadness. Atzuv is Atzabem, it's the Lashon Avodah Zarah. That's a Richuk of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But Simcha is all about the closeness to Hashem. Specifically Sukkos, where we're returning back to the Asif al-Yon, we're returning back to original roots, and therefore thereby connecting ourselves to Hashem in the closest means possible. That's why Sukkos is the Zman Simchasenu, and it's also the reason why Sukkos is really the true Geula. When the Ramban at the end of the beginning of Sefer Shmuel talks about the fact that real Geula is only achieved when we had the Mishkan, the Ramban is alluding to this idea. Because when we had the Mishkan, we were able, that was the dveikus between us and Hashem, which is what real gula is. Gula is not just the fact that we're physically freed. Real gula is the complete connection that exists between Hashem and the Jewish people. We'll develop this idea a bit more. But okay, good? So far, so good?
Maybe.
Okay, good. Okay, and we'll just also point out that what happened to Rosh Hashanah? Now, Rosh Hashanah, Adam HaRishon sinned when he ate from the Eitz Hadas. Now, when Adam HaRishon sinned, what did he cause? What did he bring into the world? He brought death into the world. So, Rabbein Bechai explains that the mitzvah of Da'al Minim is supposed to be the tikkun for the chet of Adam HaRishon. What was the tree that Adam HaRishon ate from? So, you want to tell me? Okay, good, okay.
Red.
What?
Red tree.
Okay, good, good. But Rabbein Bechai, again, Rabbein Bechai is a Makobo, Rabbein Bechai thinks that the tree that Adam HaRishon ate from was an Esrog tree. And that the reason why we have the mitzvah of Esrog and the Da'al Minim is to be metaking, it's to do the tikkun for the chet of Adam HaRishon. That's what Rabbein Bechai posits is the significance of the mitzvah of Da'al Minim. And also, let's just point out, we talked about the fact that Luv Zobal Chaim. Now, Chazal also teaches that each of the four Da'al Minim corresponds to a different body part of a person. So what body part does Esther correspond to?
The heart.
Right? The Luv is the spine, the Arava is the lips, and the Hadassim are the eyes. Now, what's the difference between the heart of a person versus any of the other limbs?
That's the one that's lacking.
Exactly. If you don't have a heart, you can't have any of the other limbs. Right? A person can live without lips. A person can live without...
What?
Okay, a person can live, though. I'm saying it's not a heart. The heart, the Maharal explains the significance of the heart is that it pumps. What?
Your spine's your nervous system. Can't live without a nervous
okay,
system.
Okay, well, okay. The Maharal, let's go with the Maharal. The Maharal explains that the heart, the lave, gives chiyus to the rest of the body. And for example, that's why in Hebrew, what do we call blossoming in Hebrew? What's the lashon of blossoming in Hebrew? Livluv. Livluv. What's livluv? It's giving chiyus to the tree. So according to why is that specifically the esrog corresponds to the heart? Because the ikker, really, the Rabbein Bechai explains that really we only should only have to take the esrog, but we take all the other gimel minim because the esrog is really the min that's the tikkun for the chet of Adam HaRishon. Adam HaRishon brought ma'avis into this world. We specifically take the esrog along with all the other dalad minim. In order to be misakin his chait, in order to bring chius, right, in order to bring back, trying to undo the right, Adam HaRishon sinned in Rosh Hashanah. Sukkot, as we said, is the fulfillment of the potential that exists in Rosh Hashanah. Sukkot is the chalois kiyum of Rosh Hashanah. So Sukkot, we're trying to bring back Adam HaRishon brought malvus into the world. In Rosh Hashanah, Sukkot, we're trying to bring back chaim, we're trying to bring back life into this world through the dalad meaning. That's what Rabbein Bechai says. But let's just add on to that. There's a fascinating Reh Kanadi, then the Beis Yosef quotes this halacha. Now, when you take the dalad minim, right, we take three minim in the right hand, or if you're righty, you take the hadas, the lulav, and the arava in the right hand. Now, you take in your left hand the esrog. Now, the Reh Kanadi says that when you take the dalad minim together, you should, what? You should put the two of them together. You should connect the esrog with the gimel of a minim, which is, I think, but most people have the minhag to do that. So, what's the reason why we do this? It's only for Kabbalistic reasons. The reason the Reh Kanadi explains that the reason why we do this is that the three minim, the lulav, the hadas, and the arava, correspond to yud hey and vav, and then the esrog corresponds to the last hey. And the point is that we're trying to be mashlim the shem Hashem. Well, let's explain the significance of the Reh Kanadi. So, what letter in the Shem Hashem is repeated? The Hey. So, in the Kabbalah son, okay, ask someone who is holding, but essentially the second Hey, the significance of the second Hey, is that that is the Hashlama of the Bria Mitzad Adam. Let's give a mashal. Rav Lopiansky always likes to give the following, mashal. Let's say you had a teacher who was giving, let's say a shir. And so let's say a Rebbe is giving shir, and then the Rebbe asked one of the Talmidim to give a chazar shir. Now, if you think about it, there is a certain maila, there's a certain something, what's maila?
Good thing.
A good thing to be gained from that. But on the other hand, there's a certain chisan, something detrimental. What's the chisan, what's the detrimental fact about someone who gives chazar shir?
You're missing something.
Yeah, you're missing a lot of information. You can't give the shir over as well as the one who gave the shir. But what's the maila, what's the maila of giving over chazar shir? Person giving over the shir is able to concretize the information much better. It sticks with him much better. So that's pshat. When the Mekubalim say that the second hey of Hashem's name is supposed to be the tikkun mitzad us, when the fact that we are the ones that are completing this world, it concretizes Hashem's presence, existence in this world much more. Right? Kavayachal, give a mashal. Right? If Hashem was kind of the one, the Rebbe giving the shir, If we weren't the ones that were concretizing that, then from our perspective, we wouldn't be able to take the elikus, I don't know, as much as if Hashem just would have given it to us entirely. Does this idea make sense? Or I could try to explain it again, or we could just go on.
Go right there.
Okay, fine. Okay, sorry. Okay, fine, to say it. So let's just conclude. Now, we only have a few more minutes left. Let's just conclude with just a few more ideas. So when it comes to all the Gimel Regalim, we find, what are the two components when it comes to the Gimel Regalim? So we find the agriculture component and also the historical component. So what's Pesach? Pesach is the time of planting. What's Shavuos is Chag HaKotzir, Sukkos is Chag HaAsif. Now Pesach was the time that we became a nation, Shavuos is the time we received the Torah, Sukkos is Hashem took care of us in Midbar. Now, let's just ask a question. What, if you were to think about it, which of these two things is more significant, the agriculture thing that's happening or the historical thing that happened?
Historical thing.
What do we really primarily commemorate? The historical thing. So why is there such an emphasis in the Torah on the agricultural parallel that is happening to the historical event that happened at that time? You hear the kasha? What's the significance of this idea? So we spoke about in the past that Hashem, when he created this world, Hashem, the Akedah explains that HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted this world to be a world that even Teva, even nature, would be reflective, would be governed in Hashkacha fashion. Meaning that Hashem didn't want it that there be a bifurcation, that there be Hashem's Hashkacha in the world and that there would be nature. Hashem wanted it that even nature would be governed by Hashkacha. The significance of the two components of the Yom Tovim, namely the agricultural and the Hashkacha, represent these two modes, right? They represent agriculture as Teva. Hashkacha is Hashkacha. On the Yom Tovim, what we're trying to do is we're trying to allude to the fact that we're trying to bring the Bria back to, as we said, right? The Lulav is supposed to be the Tikkun of Chet Adam HaRishon. Before Adam HaRishon sinned, Hashem's presence was recognized through Teva. We're trying to bring that back through the Yom Tovim. So we're trying to reunite agriculture and Hashem's Hashkacha, that even the agricultural cycle is supposed to be perceived in the same light as Hashem's Hashkacha through Pesach, right? Through the same way that Yetzias Mitzrayim, Hashem took us out of Egypt, we're supposed to perceive the agricultural cycle in the same sense. The same way that Hashem gave us to the Torah on Shavuos, that godless of HaKadosh Baruch Hu we're supposed to perceive in the Katzir. In the same way that in Sukkot we commemorate the fact that Hashem took care of us in the Midbar, we're supposed to perceive that just through the Asifa. We're supposed to perceive that through our physical gathering and the agriculture in the fields. So through the Yom Tovim, we're trying to reunite these two tracks, both the agricultural and the Hashkacha, in order for us to recognize that even the agriculture is the Hashkacha, because that's really what the Bria was supposed to be like before Adam HaRishon sinned and where the Bria is headed to. And as we pointed out last week from the Arizal, right? The Arizal teaches that when it comes to the Lulav, The luluv as is a tzemeach. It's something. Now, when we do the nanun, when we shake the luluv, we turn the luluv into a chai. When we do the kiskusim, when you make the luluv, you know, the luluv is supposed to rattle at the top, you're turning the luluv into a medaber. And the significance of that is that you're making teva, you're making nature, but the dalamim represent old nature, you're making old nature say Hashem's halal. Because that was the ultimate kiyum of the bria, that the world itself, even nature itself, is proclaiming Hashem's praises in the sense that even nature itself is just a reflective, or is just a reflection of Hashem's hashkacha in the bria. And again, as we pointed out, that's the kiyum of Rosh Hashanah Tfilos, because what do we say in Rosh Hashanah Davening? We say, V'yadaki ful ki atafi al toh. The Rishon Elav, the Mepharshim explained, V'yadaki ful ki atafi al toh, it's referring to plants. V'yadaki ful ki atafi al toh, that even the plants are going to recognize Hashem as their molder, as their creator. And that kiyum is on Sukkos, when we take the Dalet Minim, and we have the Dalet Minim themselves say halal. It's as if the plants themselves are recognizing Hashem as Hashkacha. Okay, good. So we have 3 minutes left. I just want to end with just a few quick ha'aras, which it's related. It's kedai, though. So, what are some key crucial differences that exist between Pesach and Sukkot? So let's start with we'll go one by one. What's the Kriyas HaTorah of Pesach all about? What are the Kriyas HaTorah of Pesach all about? Yeah, Chag Pesach, various historical events. What's the Kriyas HaTorah of Sukkot all about? The Korbanos. Now, does the Torah call Pesach a Chag? It's a trick question. The Tzid points out when it comes to Pesach, the Torah only refers to the first day as a Chag. When it comes to Sukkot, the Torah refers to all 7 days as a Chag, and then Tzid explains that's why we say how all 7 days of Pesach. When it comes to Sukkot, the Torah calls all 7 days of a Chag. When it comes to Pesach, it only calls the first day a Chag. And Sif explains, that's why we say halal all 7 days of Sukkot as opposed to Pesach when we say full halal the first day. Now, just in general, why is it that we refer to a yantif as a chag? What's the significance of the word chag? So chag is a lashon chagiga. That the chag is supposed to be as man of korbanos. So the question that we can ask is, what's the unique connection between korbanos and Sukkot? Why is it that in Pesach we're emphasizing historical things as opposed to Sukkot where we're emphasizing korbanos? So it fits along very well with everything that we've been saying. The Maharal explains, and it's not in the Maharal, but in Rabbein Mechai, the significance of a korban, A, on one hand, it's about a karv, it's about creating a connection with Hashem. But when we burn up the korban, we're recognizing the fact that we're returning the korban back to Kodesh Baruch Hu. It's returning back, the korban, the animal itself, is returning back to its roots. We're recognizing the fact that really Hashem doesn't need anything. And by offering up a korban, it's a way of us connecting to Hashem by returning, through the korban itself, we connect to Him by returning to our roots. That's essentially what the Maharal explains. That's what the Maharal says. And Sukkot is, the time of Sukkot is all about our connection with Hashem. It's all about our relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Korbanos are about this intimate connection that exists between us and Hashem. So that's why in Sukkot there's such a big emphasis on the korbanos. That's why all 7 days are called the Chag. As opposed to Pesach, Pesach is about the historical significance that happened to the Jewish people. It's not about the ongoing relationship. Sukkot is all about the ongoing relationship, so specifically it's the Zman of Korbanos. Also, on a related note, Rav Huttner points out, what's the main verb that we use to describe Pesach? So we always describe Pesach in the context of Zechira, right? Zechira sits its time, Man Tizkor, etc. What's the verb that's used to describe Sukkot? Man Yedu Dor Seichem. Pesach is all about Zechira. Sukkot is about Yediyah. What's the difference between Zechira and Yediyah? Zechira is about the past. It's about the historical. Yediyah, throughout Tanakh, conveys a connection. Conveys an intimate connection. That's what Sukkot is all about. Sukkot is about the intimate connection between us and HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's why it's Man Yedu Dor Seichem and keep a Sukkot Seishavtis. Because it's all about the connection that exists between us and Hashem. And as we explained earlier, the real underlying source of this connection between us and Hashem is the fact that we're returning back to the Asif al-Yono, we're returning back to the original root, we're returning back to our Kodesh Baruch Hu, which is the ultimate purpose of this world and is the fulfillment of what we're davening for in Rosh Hashanah, because Rosh Hashanah is the root of the year, in the kium of our Rosh Hashanah tefillos, the kium of the fact that we're actual Rosh Hashanah, we blow the shofar to wake us up to our potential. And Sukkos, with the Dao meaning, we reach our potential and we return back to Hashem by uniting all the Jewish people together, by uniting our entire bodies together, by uniting all the different limbs of us to serve Hashem. And that allows us to achieve the ultimate shleimus, which, as we said earlier, Achdus is Geula. It allows us to achieve Achdus together, which is real Geula. And as we said, Geula is just the Dveikus with Hashem. Okay. Okay, sorry for not explaining it.